Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are regional art patron Mary Levan and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or through our Facebook page. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight back again, Tim King from the Port County Symphony Orchestra, telling about this upcoming concert. It's actually a belated birthday for somebody. Tim, welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what's your concert coming up for one of the greats of classical music?
Well, you know, 2020 was the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth. So orchestras all over the country had planned to do some sort of Beethoven work, whether it was a symphony or a piano concerto or an overture or something. And of course, all that just got shot, if you can imagine. Yeah. So we what compounded our problem was that we had one of our music director candidates involved with this. And so he was here actually for over half the week. And the concert was supposed to be on March the 15th, and March the 13th was when everything was shut down in Indiana. So we were able to reschedule his name. His name's Wilbur Lynn, and he's already an assistant conductor with the Cincinnati Symphony and got his doctorate from IU. So we were basically doing the same program that we had planned before. So that's how we just decided to call it the belated 250th. So it's going to be Sunday, March the 14th at 3 p.m. at the Civic Auditorium in La Porte. We usually have this concert in Michigan City, but because we needed to be socially distant, the arena in Civic Auditorium helps us to accomplish that. So we moved it to the Civic, again, Sunday, March the 14th at 3 p.m. with Wilbur Lynn and Beethoven's 7th Symphony and Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with piano soloist Carrie Sheck, who is a member of La Porte and actually was a instructor at Valpo U for many, many years in their music department. She's a really fine pianist. And so she's looking forward to this. Wilbur's looking forward to it. The orchestra's looking forward to it. And he now will be our last candidate. So he'll be conducting. And then we're going to do a pretty fast track on trying to choose the new music director after that, because we're a year behind, as you can imagine.
How's that coming along? I mean, I know you've had all the candidates in, but when are you thinking you're going to pull the trigger on the final decision?
Well, you know, we were so fortunate to be able to do this because lots of orchestras haven't been playing at all.
Right.
We're the only orchestra in Indiana that actually played with the full ensemble in 2020. So one of our candidates came in March. That was the fifth one. Wilbur's the sixth. And so what we're going to do is literally the week after he performs, we're asking the audience and the musicians to turn all their evaluations in. Everybody gets a shot at giving their opinion on this. We're going to collate all that. It goes to the selection committee, which has been in force for over 3 or 4 years now. The selection committee will choose a person that will go to the board the next couple of days for approval. And then I get the wonderful job of calling the person saying, we'd like for you to become our next music director. But I also get the unenviable job of calling the other five and saying, oh, by the way, you didn't get the job. So I keep asking board members if they want to do that for me, but they just kind of decline my offer. I don't know why they're doing that.
So Tim, is there going to be a like pay-per-view kind of with this concert?
Well, what we're doing on this concert is we can have an audience. We can't have very many. The Civic holds about 1,800 people. We can have 400. We have 300 and some subscribers. So, and some of those won't come because if they're not, some of them are fully vaccinated and they don't feel comfortable being there. So we're going to have an audience there. So we're selling some tickets, but you can go to lcso.net and do that. A limited number, but we will be live streaming the concert as well, but it will not be pay-per-view.
Oh.
Be available, for the folks. Again, at 3 o'clock on our website, lcso.net. And then I'm hoping that after the concert's over with, we might be able to put it on our YouTube channel so people can see it later on if they weren't able to check in that day.
That would be so beautiful. So what's going on with Hoosier Star?
Well, Hoosier Star is the next weekend. So here we are busy with one weekend and we got another weekend. So Saturday the 20th, Sunday the 21st, it's our 16th annual Hoosier Star auditions. Those also are on the applications are on our website. You two are familiar with this. It's kind of like our takeoff on American Idol. We probably thought this would last about 5 or 6 years. And here we are 16 years later, having 50, 60, 70, 80 people audition for 10 spots. We have a youth division from 17 and under, adult division 18 and over, 5 finalists in each category who get to solo in front of the orchestra, which by September, I'm sure we'll all be full, maybe with masks, maybe not with masks, but we will have an audience for sure there. So I want people to, if you've got a good singer in your family, and even those who have auditioned, who have not won, this past year, our adult winner, Elise Flores, auditioned for 15 years. She never made the finals. This year, she made the finals, and she won. So just because you don't make it the first, try again.
Persistence.
We only have about a half a minute left. What do you have coming up for your final concert of the season, real briefly?
It's going to be a great concert. April the 17th, we're bringing back LaPorte native Gary Wado. Gary's a graduate of LaPorte High School. He's earned this incredible reputation of a conductor of note with opera companies and orchestras all over the United States. And it's going to be a really, really great homecoming on April the 17th to finish out our season. You can get the tickets there at the orchestra's website as well.
It's always a pleasure to have you, Tim King from LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra, lcso.net. Thanks again for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And we'd like to welcome to this segment of Art on the Air, Joel Morrison. He's a musician, singer, songwriter based in Minneapolis. His music is drawn from like a combination of folk, pop, and rock influences. And they offer kind of graphic narratives that examine, well, universal life themes of struggle, loss, and redemption. And we'll talk about his third and latest album, which is just released, City Loves Its Losers. Joel, welcome to Art on the Air.
Welcome, Joel.
Thank you so much, Larry and Esther. Glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you. One of the first things that we like to do is just talk about your personal journey. I usually like to describe it, how you got from where you were to where you are. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, I've always loved music. And music was always, right from the get-go, it was something that was just had a really, really strong response from me internally. I can remember being about 9 or 10 years old and opening up this record from AC/DC, the rock band, and it was Back in Black. And I still remember the way the record smelled. And I still remember looking at this image of these band members that just looked crazy. I didn't know people, you know, looked like that. And so really from an early age, I loved music. So I started playing guitar as a kid. I took a few lessons probably when I was about 11 or 12. I also got a ukulele one year for Christmas and loved playing the ukulele. I bought all the Mel Bay books and learned all of the traditional songs. And then as I got older, and I grew up in a suburb of Kansas City, and I also grew up in Valparaiso and Chesterton, Indiana. So as a kid, those were the two or three towns that I lived in. And I for that reason, I probably gravitated eventually after I got through my hard rock phase as a kid. I gravitated more towards maybe Midwest genre Americana, guitar-driven music, stories about the heartland, as the setting.
Acoustic or electric?
Well, I love both, and I love bands that have electric and acoustic guitars working together. It's a great sound.
When was the first one you picked up, though? Was it acoustic or electric?
Oh, I see. It was an electric guitar. Oh. It was. And, you know, for a kid, it's easier to play an electric guitar. And, you know, if when you're the parent, if you really want to get your child interested in the instrument, skip right to electric, and then they get to make more noise.
Yeah, immediate gratification.
you put enough distortion on the sound, and you don't even have to play the right notes. It's super exciting. So from there, I went to college at the University of Wisconsin, remained a big music fan, and through college and after school, I started seeing a lot of live music. And then, you know, got inspiration to eventually say, I want to make my own music and I want to be able to play. And so that's
when when did you write your first song? And was it a song, or did it start out as something else, a story or poetry?
No, it never was that. I always tried to, I was always inspired by music and then tried to fit stories and words to the music. So oftentimes I would write a song, music and words kind of together, not one prior to the other. I started writing music probably about 15 years ago. And as more indie studios became accessible, I started recording music probably 10 or 11 years ago with some of those initial songs that I wrote.
Very good. What any influences you had for your music?
Well, I keep going back so early, but, you know, disco music, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Okay, sure.
I had Kenny Rogers' Greatest Hits when I was in fifth grade and loved it. And that actually probably was an original source of me liking that, I guess I'll call it Americana sound, but the country-influenced pop. Acoustic sounds, storytelling. But more recent influences, I really like, there's a great singer-songwriter by the name of Josh Rouse. And I've certainly written some songs that emulate things that he writes. There are a few bands out of Minneapolis over the years that I really, really love. The Replacements, who was kind of a post-punk band, but a very versatile songwriter. So they wrote folk and pop along with rock and roll. The Jayhawks, there's a great songwriter named Gary Louris. Everybody's heard of the band Wilco. Jeff Tweedy's a fantastic songwriter in that band. So those are the people I think of. And more classic rock genre folks, Neil Young and Paul Simon, those are the people that I think probably influenced what I try to do.
And I know that like the narrative is like very, the Americana narrative is very indicative of like Bruce Springsteen or John Mellencamp too, that tell like long stories through their songs.
And those are both artists that influence the music that I like, and probably the music, since it's been internalized over the years, probably the music that I put out. When I was in high school, John Mellencamp was absolutely my number one favorite musician. And I even tried to dress like him. I'd wear white t-shirts, black jeans rolled up at the ankle.
It's a very distinctive sound.
Oh, I love it. You know, and then alt country became very popular, or frankly, became an actual genre. And I remember reading an interview with John Mellencamp, and he said, shoot, I was doing that in 1985. A fiddle and a washboard and, you know, an accordion along with pop instruments. So right. Those are great artists. That I certainly probably drew.
Yeah, because they have all that orchestration, but there's still a rawness about what they're doing. You know, it's like very...
So much.
Immediate. So
much. Yeah, both those artists have found ways to make really, really big music out of really, really intimate stories. And both of their voices have an immediacy, I think.
Well, Joel, you have a new album out, and we want to make sure we have time to squeeze it in. So set up the very first song for us.
So the very first song is a song called Venom Was the Cure. And this is a song that came to me, and I put it together. And for me, it's about somebody who is in quite a predicament, and they've made the decision that they're going to leave what their current life is, and they're going off and they've made a decision, probably that's a bad decision, and they're going to flee their current life. And I think the implication of the word venom is that they might be going back to something that was doing them harm, but they've given up.
Very good. Let's take a listen to it right now off the new album, Venom Was a Cure, City Love Is Loser is the album.
Yesterday she planned to break away, woke before the sun could light the way. Then her mom picked up the kids while he was sleeping in. If the engine turned the heat up all the way, checked a bottle of blonde hair in the mirror, saw the lines on her face deep. The best we cried, every song left behind. This time the venom was the cure. If I could save you, I would save you. If I could save you, I would. Thousand signs of hope along the way, with a trail of the debt she could pay. But moving was the lesser crime, every sorrow left behind. This time the venom was the cure. If I could save you, I would save.
And that was Venom Was the Cure from Joel Morrison's new album, City Loves Its Losers.
That one makes me feel like the person, the author of that song, and not necessarily you, who you are, you know, like the narrative of the person, that line, if I could save you, it's almost, and then it goes on, but it's almost like the person talking about themselves. Is that, am I listening to that correctly? Or
yeah, I certainly think like a lot of music, you know, you can interpret it different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll resonate to the listener in a way that probably rings most true. But I definitely believe that it's not necessarily somebody saying, boy, if I could save you from this trouble ahead, I would. I think it is about the person themselves.
Right. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. So many, you know, I've listened to the whole album, and yes, they're all about redemption, definitely, but also like very devotional. And I was the sense that I got. There was a lot of I guess to use a word, like a lot of spirituality about them too, within that. That's what I heard. So the album is kind of, I guess that takes me to the question, where does the inspiration happen for you as you start a song? Like, where do you start?
Yeah, I do start on the instrument. And for me, the music is first. Maybe it's a chord progression or maybe it's a melody. But in terms of the lyrics, I think even subconsciously, usually it starts with a certain line, and it's probably a line I've heard somewhere, a sentence.
Sure.
And then that, for me, can kind of stir up a story behind it. And then I think it's mostly imagination, just like probably all art is. Got a line, and now I've got a person, and I'm going to create a little story. And it's all just made up. But of course, I'm sure it's stuff that it's either maybe it's about me in a certain time in my life, or maybe it's about somebody I've seen. But that's kind of probably how I approach the creation of all these tunes.
Yeah, it's so interesting because it's so different for every single person. Sometimes it just hits you all at once. You hear artists say, oh my gosh, within 3 minutes, there it was, just the way I did it. And then others, it's more of a, you know, it's more of a process. It's very fascinating.
Joel, tell us about the next song we want to listen to, Elvin Creed, and let's take a listen to that.
Yeah, Elvin Creed is kind of a song of a little bit of a different approach and cloth than the other songs. It's quieter. It's probably a more intimate delivery of a tune. But it's just another character, and this person's also in a predicament. They're on a run. They're on the run. And we don't get to find out what happens. That's sort of for the listeners to determine.
Let's take a listen to it. Elvin Creed on the new City Loves Its Losers, Joel Morrison.
Elvin Creed was a big man coming. Thought that life never beaten dry. Crossed his bones, made a run for the money. Superstars never flew so high. Made a run through the Kearney County. Put a splash in mid-thigh. Made a run through the country thunder. Lightning fire in his eyes. Elvin Creed was a real man chugging. Ran all night, Garden City bound. Took the hand, was an invitation. Thunder sounds ringing down. Made a dash down the old river bottom to the opened arms of God. God pulled him up by his heels from the coffin on the ladder high above. Elvin Creed was a true man running. Heard the word, it was time. Set his eyes on the final coming. Made his home in the light. Thank you.
And that was Elvin Creed on the new album from Joel Morrison, City Loves Its Losers.
You can hear the he's struggling in that one and looking. That's one that seemed very devotional to me, actually. Knows that he's on this path, but he's, you know, he wants something greater or a change.
Yeah, to me, that one is more positive and inspiring because he decides to leave behind a small town that's no fun for him. And he even leaves behind a romantic relationship and he goes to the big city and he decides he's going to survive it.
Real quick, one question I have is, where do you record your stuff?
I go to a studio here in Minneapolis by name of Ecstatic Studio. And it's run by a guy named Ali Jafar. And just a fantastic place to make music.
Yeah, I had a recording studio in the 70s, but this was a reel-to-reel recorder studio, though, back then. So it's a lot different now. So
yes.
What are you looking forward to? Let's quickly talk about the pandemic, how it's influenced you one way or another.
Oh, just the same way it has influenced everyone. I miss going to coffee shops and hanging out and talking to people I know. And I miss going out to restaurants or music events, seeing and hearing music. I miss all of that stuff. But I've always been a little bit of a loner anyway, so it hasn't been as big of an adjustment for me. I don't mind being at home every night.
I wonder if our audience would be interested. Where can they find your music on podcast platforms, website, anything like that?
You can find my music on almost every digital platform, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and I'm in the process of getting them on Bandcamp as well.
Okay. And briefly, we're going to hit the title track of your album, City Loves Its Losers. Set that up for us, and we're going to close out with that after that, Joel.
This song is about somebody who's leaving behind both a romantic relationship, but also a small town that he doesn't feel like he fits in.
Okay. And is it kind of autobiographical?
No, I wouldn't say it's autobiographical, but I can certainly sympathize perhaps with wanting to leave one scene and maybe taking on a new challenge that's more inspiring.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. That's Joel Morrison with his new album, City Loves Its Losers. And we're going to listen to the title track right now. Joel, thanks for being on Art in the Air.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both so much. It was a lot of fun.
Hit the title track of your album, City Loves Its Losers.
Ditch the old poor crew.
started bouncing at the cabaret. He said he was 18. Gray moon shining down on a lonely city team. The city loves its losers with all their broken hearts. The city loves its losers with all their dirty charm. The city loves its losers with all their broken hearts. The city loves its losers with all their dirty charm.
We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air, Joe Marcinek, a musician based out of Crown Point, has a unique concept that he has a band, but he has different people that sit in all the time. He'll be happy to tell us about that on Art on the Air. Welcome to our show.
Aloha.
Well, Joe, we want you to first talk about your background real quick. Where you are to where you are now, like background, college, any other things you want to tell us?
Yes, sir. That could probably take up a whole nother interview. But I'm in Crown Point, Indiana right now, region rat. I grew up around here. We moved when I was about 3 years old, and then went to Lake Central High School and then college at Indiana State, where I got a music degree in music business and administration. And so
that was smart.
Well, at the time, it thought like a good idea, but then I went into performing for a living, and this is quite a different living that you start to find out. But I was lucky to have a high school band around here called Frog the Jam with some guys, and then going to music school really just expanded all the horizons into jazz and classical music and contemporary music. And so I really just developed a deep passion for music and performing. That's really stayed with me to this day.
So what was your first instrument in school? Was it the guitar?
Yep. Started on guitar, and I was very lucky. My senior year of high school, I was taking a ceramics class and just didn't enjoy it for some reason or another, and was talking with the counselor about other choices. And one of them was music theory. And I'm so, so lucky to have taken that, because that kind of changed the whole course of my life. It was like the only class I ever got an A+ in. And so I took it a fall semester, my high school year, and then again in the spring, because they offered music theory 1 and 2. And I remember as I was going to college, you didn't have to, but you could decide, you know, which area you wanted to go into. And I was told growing up, you know, you just do whatever you love. And so at the only time, the only thing I really enjoyed was that music theory class. So I decided, well, let's explore this a little further in college. So I went to Indiana State and started studying music theory. And about 2 years into it, I realized there's no real job with music theory. So if I'm going to have something to fall back on, might as well have that music business degree instead. So switched over, still in music, but music business instead of theory. And then the rest has been onward and upward since then.
So what instruments do you play?
So primarily guitar, but I'm also fluent in the piano and the keyboards. I sing as well, play a little bass, and attempt to do the drums, but no one really wants to hear that.
So were you from the get-go having this very flexible setup, or did you have a solid band? I mean, I'm talking after high school.
Yeah, no, it really kind of evolved organically. So I finished college in 07, did a short internship in Montgomery, Alabama, and then moved back in the spring of 08. And some of my friends had started a local band called Fresh Hops, and they still play today. So I was with them until about 2017. And so playing with them, that was my main band. We were touring around the country. So I started this side project at the time. It's about 2010, 2011, with another drummer who had went to Berkeley and moved back home. So I always loved playing with him, but we didn't have a set band or anything. It was just doing something for fun. And so we'd get other musicians to come sit in. But since it was just fun as a side little thing, it just grew into this organic concept of a different lineup almost every time. And so as I started to expand it more throughout the country, that opened up the player pool where we're in Chicago, we can choose from players from there, or Indianapolis, or wherever we went. And then eventually it just started consuming more and more of my time. So, you know, having to make the choice of playing in my own band or with Fresh Hops, I chose to do, you know, my own thing. And then it just really exploded. I started touring all over the country and playing from Florida to New Orleans to San Francisco to New York, and until the pandemic, who was on the road almost 300 days a year.
So what would you describe your musical style as?
So I kind of have what I call a core four, which is like my main influences that you would hear if you were to go see a concert. And one of the earliest influences was the blues, and Chicago blues in particular. And then there's a love for jazz fusion, jazz harmony. I also have a deep love of New Orleans and the funky side of music. And then there's this Grateful Dead kind of psychedelic aspect. So you kind of put all four into a blender and you get the Joe Marsnick Band.
Great. Hey, well, we'd like to hear like an example of that. So tell us about like George Washington, which we'll take a listen to.
Yeah, so this is a record I did in 2016, recorded in Colorado with that drummer I was telling you about, Pete Koopman, and then a bunch of Colorado musicians produced by Joey Porter from the band The Motet. And it was kind of just a culmination of my early influences and this kind of Grant Green funky jazz sound, very instrumental, guitar-based, but fun, kind of groovable to where an audience could enjoy it, as well as the listening musician.
Oh, great. Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to George Washington. And what album is this from?
This is from an album called Slink.
Slink. Okay, and here it is.
Thank you.
on the Slink album, of course. That was George Washington, Joe Marcinek. Yeah, very interesting. Very fabulous. A lot of moving parts in that.
Thank you. Yeah. And so another special thing about that record, I got to work with the legendary keyboardist from Parliament and the Talking Heads, Bernie Worrell. So we were doing a bunch of concerts in 2015. And at the end of the year, going into 16, was when I started recording. And so we had talked about working together. Well, that was also the time he found out that he had, stage 4 lung cancer, and the outlook wasn't very good for him. But he still wanted to keep playing pretty much until he passed. So I was very lucky to have what turned out to be his last ever recording from this legendary keyboardist, Bernie Worrell. It was on my Slink record. And so we turned it into a tribute for him. And it's a song on there called Bernie. So it's a really special album and just a special thing that I never could have imagined happening.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. You have some very interesting Grammy Award winners that have played with you. Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah, so I actually was just down in Florida recording at Full Sail University with who I consider my favorite musician alive right now, this guy Sean Martin, multiple Grammy winner with Kirk Franklin and the band Snarky Puppy. But I've also worked with Ivan Neville from Keith Richards' band, George Porter from The Meters. Melvin Seals, who played with Jerry Garcia Band for a long time. Nate Wirth, who's also a local region player from Snarky Puppy. Jason Hahn, who's played with Dr. Dre and Isaac Hayes and a bunch of people. So, yeah, I've been very blessed having this concept to network with all these great musicians throughout the country.
So do you have like a music hotline? You pick up the red phone and you just like connect to all these people all over? Or how does that
happen? Yeah, I mean, it's this beautiful thing called the internet that's in, for better or worse, brought us all together and forced our business into everyone else's business. And on the music side, it's just been a great networking tool to where you kind of get to meet your heroes and you get to talk to them. So I've really been fortunate. And also one of the cool things about what I do, since it's just a weekend, is a lot of these guys have touring bands, guys and girls, who have touring bands. So maybe they only have one or two weekends free a year, but a project like mine is perfect. They can just come in, do a couple of shows, and then maybe I don't even see them until the next year. And so I've been able to develop a lot of these relationships over the course of 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
Well, you work with someone I admire quite a bit, which is, I don't know how often you work with Waz, but he's just...
Waz played on my first record.
Oh, yay. That's so good to hear. I like him so much.
He's one of the funniest people you'll ever meet. Yeah. Done countless gigs and hung out with him so many times, and he has a new joke every time you see him. Just absolutely love that guy. Have you guys had Waz on yet?
No, we haven't, but we'll work on it.
Yeah, you got to get him on. He's got stories for days. Great banjo player too, which no one knows.
I did not know that. Yeah. Maybe he told me at some point. I don't know.
You're working on a new album with the pandemic, and briefly maybe address how the pandemic's affected you. Obviously, touring is out and everything, but what's a new album, and how's that reflect the influence that COVID-19 has had?
Yeah, so this is my fourth record, and I've decided to call it JMB4. And if you put it together, it's B4 is kind of the concept and the idea of the album. And it's just retaining the spirit of what life was before everything shut down and the joy of live music. And so I've really put that into the songwriting, into the performances. It's just, keeping this spirit alive and not letting it fade away, because this past year has been devastating for so many people, and we, losing lives and so much worse. And so you think, oh, it's bad, we can't play gigs, but so many people have it so much worse. Really just trying to keep the spirit of what we had and not letting it extinguish.
So did I read that you have something coming up Saturday, or was that?
Yeah, so I believe this will air afterwards. I'm at Elements Wine Bar this Saturday, but as people are listening to it, it'll be in the week.
So do you have anything in the future that you can talk about?
Valpo. nothing really set coming up. I do have a Patreon that I've been working on and that I put a lot of unreleased music on. And it's basically how I've been able to stay afloat. I'm just patreon.com/JoeMarcinikBand. And it's cool. It's basically a monthly membership that you get to see live streams, exclusive recordings, unreleased live shows, so much fun stuff. So you can check that out, or my website, JoeMarcinikBand.com, has tour dates and music that you can listen to and all the fun stuff.
So is the song George about George Porter Jr.?
Yeah, so I've got George Washington, and then I wrote this song for George as a tribute to him. And I should have called it Porter, because now it's kind of confusing with George Washington. But yeah, my concept before the shutdown was, since my band changes all the time on my new album, I planned to do a different lineup on every song. And so that was the first song, was with the George Porter Jr. Trio, legendary bass player from New Orleans.
Oh, they're so good, all of them.
Yeah, and just being in the same room as him and sitting across from him and getting to learn from him and experience all that musicality in his playing was one of the highlights of my life. And so, yeah, it was just a tribute to that sound and that style of the funkiness. And his band is amazing. Michael Lemler on the keyboards and Terrence Houston on the drums.
Terrence is so good.
Yeah, it's just that. Just amazing. So on YouTube, I have a clip of the whole band playing that you can see just on my YouTube channel, Joe Marcinik Band. And you can see him going to town. And it's just so amazing.
Do you know Billy Foster?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, good. He's our very, very dear, dear friend. We love both he and Renee so much, and the Billy Foster Trio as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to go see him at Asparagus on the weekends in Merivale. He would play with his trio.
Well, Joe, set up your website and everything, and we're going to listen out with your song, George. Tell us where they can find you online and all the different places.
Yeah, so all socials, it's Joe Marcinik Band, M-A-R-C-I-N-E-K, and I'm sure we'll have the links. The website is joemarcinikband.com, and then check out the Patreon if you can, patreon.com/JoeMarcinikBand.
Well, we appreciate you being on Art in the Air. That's Joe Marcinik, Joe Marcinik Band, based out of Crown Point, but all over the place. And we're going to listen out to his offering of George to close out the show. Thank you so much for being on Art in the Air.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Really appreciate what you're doing for the community. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are landlord Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.